So I once saw a sign that stuck with me for many, many years. It said, "It's not what I've done or do that determines who I am, but who I am in Jesus Christ that determines what I do." I'll say it again. It's not what I've done or do that determines who I am, but who I am in Jesus Christ that determines what I do. Now, this little phrase was meaningful to me in many ways. I've done some things in the past that I'm ashamed of and not proud of. But in coming to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and redemption, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness and to get a clean start. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 1 is one of my favourite verses in the whole Bible. It says, "Right now there is no condemnation for those of us in Jesus Christ." So we don't have to be judged by our past, what we've done or even do. We still make mistakes. I do every day. But there's forgiveness and there's redemption, and it doesn't define who we are, because Jesus Christ, our identity in him, is what defines us and helps us live out of that. Living out that identity is freedom, and it's light, and it's life, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's everything good. Another example of someone who found out this truth was a man in Cambodia, married to a lovely woman named Jean. He is a farmer. I've heard his story through the Tear Fund. And once upon a time, he was in the military as a child soldier, actually. He wasn't even 18 yet, and yet he was terrorising and murdering and killing people. And so by the time he got older and married Jean, he was carrying a lot of shame and guilt and pain and suffering in that. And his Buddhist faith didn't help him at all, just reinforced that there's only bad things ahead because he'd done so many bad things in the past. And so he turned to alcohol to escape the pain. And the more he drank, the more money he spent, their whole livelihood. And when he was drunk, he'd beat his wife. In desperation, his wife went to one of the neighbouring villages out in rural, poverty-stricken Cambodia. And she got involved with a little church there who gave her some food. And when her husband found out that she had been joining this little church, he beat her and said, "You cannot become a Christian." And she promised she wouldn't, but she secretly did. And she started praying for her husband. And you know when, you know, things are so bad, all you can do is pray? And then when you do pray, things get even worse. You ever been in that boat? That's what she did, and it got worse. Her husband ended up in an alcohol-induced coma. But while he was unconscious, someone appeared to him and said to him, "You are to follow that man, Jesus." And so when he woke up out of his coma, he said to his wife that he'd become a follower of Jesus. And right at that moment, he was no longer an alcoholic. He never drank again, and he never beat his wife again either. And they went around to their village, where there's 230 other families, and they tried to witness about Jesus to the villagers. But of course, no one wanted to listen to an ex-terrorist alcoholic wife basher, and so they didn't want to know him. But nonetheless, the local church in the next town discipled him, taught him a Christian worldview, taught him about the way to follow Jesus, and actually taught him how to earn an income. They had realised that frog farming was a need in their community. I don't know why. It's not something we'd need here, I don't think. But frog farming was a thing in Cambodia. And they taught him how to do this and equipped him for it. And 2 months later, he had earned enough. His business was thriving, so he could buy a tractor. And he could also employ 23 other villagers to work on his frog farm as well. Not only did he have them come work for him, but he taught them about Jesus and they became Christians too. And so he planted a church with a third of his village in that town. And what's amazing is that he's been transformed by Jesus, because Jesus changes people's lives. And now he lives out his new identity in Jesus Christ. No longer is he the ex-terrorist, alcoholic, wife-bashing. He's a Christian. He bears the name of Christ. And he reveals Christ to those around him, and he gives life and light and hope and good things. We're all called to do that too. We all bear the name of Christ as Christian. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you become a Christian and you bear witness to his name. So it doesn't matter what you've done or do. It matters whose you are, that you are Christ and that you're called for a purpose. He defines us. Our relationship to Jesus defines us and how we live our lives. So today, as we look at the book of Colossians, I want us all to remember just who we are, whose we are, and how we're to live out that identity as Christians. And collectively as a church too, we're a community of Christians. So if you've got a Bible, you might like it to open it up at Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. The first one with the page number can yell it out. 193. So there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen holy people, dearly loved." It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." That's you. That's who you are in Jesus Christ. You are God's chosen people. Now, that used to be said in the Old Testament times of the nation of Israel. They were God's chosen people. Beginning right back with Abraham, when God called Abraham and said, "I'm going to make you and your descendants into a great nation, and you'll be my people, and you'll bless the whole earth. I'm going to bless the whole earth through your descendants." And he did that. When the nation of Israel came out of slavery in Egypt, he said to them, "Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." They were set apart to represent God as a community of love and justice and God worshippers. They were to lead others into the worship of God. They were called for that purpose. They weren't called just for salvation. They weren't called just to be a special people. They were called for a purpose, to get on about the mission of God. And that's always been the mission of God, to draw all nations, to draw all people to himself. That is why they were called, and it is why we are called. Salvation to the nations has always been God's plan. For Israel, for us. And that's why it's the mission of the church. That's why our church's mission statement is to know Christ and to make Christ known. That's why we gather. We gather to know Christ more, not just with head knowledge, not just to learn more about him, just to read the Bible and think, "Oh yeah, Jesus is this or Jesus is that." To know him personally, intimately, deeply, a deep relational connection with Jesus Christ, who died for you so you could come back into relationship with God. He wants that intimate relationship with you, to know him deeply. We want to know Christ. And when we know him and his love, we can reveal that to others and show others the love of Christ so they can know him too. We make him known by living out our identity in him as his beloved people, so that others can see what it means to be loved by God and want that too. And so, friends, I want to say that you're not here by accident. It's God's plan for you to be here today and be part of these people. You are a chosen people, chosen to be set apart for God to use. That's what it means to be holy. Chosen people who are holy, set apart for God to use for his purposes here in Mount Eliza, Dingley, beyond. And you're dearly, dearly loved. It's one thing I really want us to soak in today. God loved the world so much. That's the people of the world. That's you and me and your neighbour and your best friend and the person down the road. God loves every single one of us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. So whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Gave his life to prove his love for us and to make us God's children through faith. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. And at the end of Romans 8, it says, "Nothing in all creation, not on heaven or in earth, not height nor depth, not angels nor demons, nothing ever can separate us from the love of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ." Nothing can separate us from his love. That's why I have a tattoo on my shoulder with a symbol, Chinese symbol, which says love. It reminds me that God's love is so permanent, I can never get it off. His love is unchanging. And when we can live in that identity as the chosen, holy, and dearly loved people of God, we can live out our life in the most amazing way that impacts others for his name's sake, which is what we'll see a few verses later. For his name's sake. That's why we are called. So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I won't elaborate more on that, as Andrew's done that well. Thank you, Andrew. And we're called to bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have any grievances against someone. Forgive as God forgave you. When you live in God's love and his forgiveness and his grace, and you bear his name, and you live out your identity in him, we become more like him. We're transformed into his image. We bear his name, we bear his character, we bear his attributes. We'll become more loving and compassionate and kind and faithful and patient and forgiving. And it's a shame we have to have forgiveness in a community, even just this size. But we do. We get annoyed with each other or rub each other up the wrong way or say something offensive or do something wrong. And we need to be gracious with each other, as gracious as God is with us. And not gossip or slander or you know, have malice or any bitterness. All these things we put off. It says that earlier in Colossians chapter 3. We're not covering it today, but you can go back and read that at home. We're to put off all those old things and put on your new identity in Christ. Get dressed in Jesus Christ. And above and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If you're covered in the love of God, you'll naturally just, yeah, have all these attributes covered in love. They'll flow out of love. And when people see you, they will see your love and your peace. That's what the next verse says in 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Called to peace. Peace with God and peace with each other. That peace that it's talking about, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, is the peace that Jesus won for you. The peace he made with God on your behalf. That peace. That peace is for all of us and between us. And for this we can be truly thankful. So our lives are meant to then be lived out of gratitude and thankfulness in response to what God has done for us. And with spiritual songs and hymns, we can sing to him and teach each other and admonish one another with all wisdom, with gratitude in our hearts for all that Christ has done for us. You know, giving our life back to God and coming to church and becoming part of a Bible study and serving one another and doing all the things we're going to talk about in our mission action plan later are not to be done out of like begrudging or duty or a sense of like having to or responsibility. It comes out of a heart of gratitude, a heart full of love, in thankfulness for what God has done for us. We give back because we are so grateful, and it's the outflow of a thankful heart. And so verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I'd encourage us to do that, whatever we do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name you bear as Christians. It's so important that we walk the talk and live out our identity in Christ as Christians, putting on all these good attributes of Christ Jesus and living as his witnesses in the world, because when people look at us, they want to see Christ. We are his representatives. And so we need to be covering one another in prayer. That's what it continues to say in chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer. And pray for those who are out there witnessing and putting their lives on the line for the gospel. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for one another as we get out and spread the good news in Mount Eliza and beyond. And pray that the word spreads. Pray that more people can come to saving faith in Jesus, because that's why we are chosen. We're not just chosen to sit here and feel comfortable like a little club, pat ourselves on the back because we got to church. You're called for a purpose, to make disciples, to draw others to Christ. That's why we exist. That's why the church. So in verse 5 in chapter 4, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Because of who you are in Christ. You bear the image of Christ. You're Christ bearers. You're a chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Called to represent him in word and deed and be a witness to all around us. So let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so others may come to know the Lord. So that's why we're having a mission action plan after the service today, because this is what we want to live out. Just simple. Just read the Bible and do it. It's not hard, is it? We're in it together. We'll encourage one another. Let me pray. Almighty Jesus, thank you so much for the great length you went to call us your own, to call us your chosen people. Thank you that you proved your love for us, that you went to such lengths to redeem us. Thank you for the privilege of being called your people and dearly loved, and for bearing your name. It is a great privilege and responsibility. Help us to live it out, Lord. We just want to honour you and live out our identity as your people, Lord. So please have your way in us. Please do through us what you would have us to do. Help us to get on board with your mission in the world, and draw others to yourself through us. You want to be your light and your representative to those around us. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.